the 110th session of the Southern Baptist Convention will come to order. I recognize Dr. Clifton Allen for emergency announcements and for a statement of policy concerning future announcements. Dr. Allen.
Mr. President, I understand that only emergency announcements are to be made from the platform, and these are three. Reverend O. Oglesby, Biloxi, Mississippi, has an emergency call called Operator 514-320524. Clarence E. Smith, an emergency call at the information desk, an emergency message. Fred Raines, emergency call from his father, Baptist Memorial Hospital, Kansas City, Missouri, 363-2882.
And now it is my privilege to introduce the Minister of Music for this convention, Robert Sneed, Minister of Music of First Baptist Church, Nashville, Tennessee. Mr. Sneed.
Thank you, Dr. Pascal, and Pastor. Needless to say, it's a wonderful joy for me to lead the music this year for our great convention. Music always means a lot to Christian people as they sing, but I suppose that it doesn't mean any more ever than it does at Southern Baptist conventions. I'm sure this will be no exception this year. I hope all of you have your programs, because in these programs we have the hymns listed. You've already noticed these, I'm sure, and you want to keep up with these all during the week, or you'll be having to sing from memory. So if you'll bring these with you each time, please. We were very happy tonight for the pre-session music to have the church orchestra from the West End Baptist Church in Atlanta. We appreciate them playing for us. One other word before we sing, and I'm not going to do any preaching. I'm not here for that. I'm here to lead you in your music. But let me say this. We are singing three hymns at the very first of the convention tonight. And two of these hymns are going to be recorded and will be on a record that the Radio and Television Commission will make available to you. You remember last year we had record number one of convention music. This year, record number two will also be available to you. And the first two hymns that we sing tonight will be recorded for that record. Our convention organist is Miss Sharon Lyon, organist music assistant at First Baptist Church in Nashville. And our pianist is Mr. Max Lyle, who is on the faculty at Belmont College in Nashville, Tennessee. All right, now let's get our programs and turn to hymn number 20, or it's actually on page 20. This has more or less become a tradition for us to sing All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name on opening session of our convention. This more or less is our national anthem as far as Baptists are concerned. We'll sing all three stanzas, and I'm going to ask, please, that you sing unison on the last. You may sing parts on the first two, but on the last, would you sing unison? And it's also, I think, tradition for us to stand as we sing our first hymn. Would you do so, please? All right.
and be seated, please. Now, if you would turn to hymn 44, another hymn of praise, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise." I wish all of you had the privilege that I do to stand here and hear you sing. This is marvelous. Hymn 44, "Oh, for a thousand tongues." Will watch me, please, on the last stanza, because we're going to do a little bit with that, if you'll watch me, all right? You didn't mind repeating that second verse, did you? I just noticed the misprint there in our program. Now, hymn 43, one page back, "My Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine." We'll sing all the three of these stanzas also. your wonderful singing.
What man says may not be so important, but what God says is infinitely important. We come now to the reading of Scripture and prayer, and it is imperative that everybody will stop where he is. Will you please? And will the ushers help us that there may be quiet in this auditorium for the reading of the Word of God? Lewis C. McKinney, Pastor Allen Memorial Baptist Church, Salisbury, Maryland, will read the scripture. C. Earl Cooper, Pastor Riverside Baptist Church, Jacksonville, Florida, will lead in prayer. In your program bulletin, you may follow as we read our scripture by turning to page 11. Whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. If a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. When ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Our rejoicing is this, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we're grateful that Thou art God and not we ourselves. Grateful that the judgments of this universe rest upon Thee and not upon us. We are grateful that Thou dost know us and our problems better than we do. Because Thou dost know, we cannot inform Thee. Because Thou dost love absolutely, we cannot, nor do we need to try, convert Thee. Because Thou art everywhere, we do not need to ask for Thy presence. Because Thou art the God of mercy, we do not need to beg for Thy grace. But because we are finite, because we are children, because though saved by grace, we are sinners, we ask of Thee Thy blessing. Bring us again unto repentance. Bring us to our knees that we might once again be on our toes. Help us to stand tall, to think big, to be good, to love devotedly. We rest our case as we place ourselves in Thy hands, confident that
there we are safe. There we shall have mercy. There we shall be holy. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Thank you. And now to bring the welcome address, I present to our convention Dr. John McGuire, Executive Secretary of the Florida Baptist Convention, a man who has done a monumental work in the state of Florida and whose ministry has gone far beyond even all over the world. Dr. McGuire, come and welcome us to the great state of Florida. And as you are coming, may I request that all people who appear on the program will please get near the microphone so there will be as little time as possible taken in getting to the microphone after the introduction. Dr. McGuire.
Mr. President, ladies and gentlemen, and messengers to the Southern Baptist Convention. We welcome you to favored Florida. Ours is a large state. We stand ninth among the states of this nation in our population. Our 1,404 Baptist churches are glad you have come our way. Our 600,000 Florida Baptist members feel honored that you are in our midst. Our state is nature blessed with its friendly sunshine, beautiful beaches, lakes, and semi-tropical beauty. It abounds in good times and good things for permanent residents and visitors alike. In fact, Jackie Gleason calls the place we're meeting the sun and fun capital of the world. Be that as it may, your presence here these days will bless us, and maybe it is not too much for me to believe that we will be a blessing to you. You're in a metropolitan area of more than 1 million people, more than half of them non-evangelicals. The 1960 census showed that we have in this country 41,000 Russians, 19,000 Polish, 8,000 Chinese, 8,000 Hungarians, 90,000 Jewish, and 275,000 Spanish-speaking people. Of this number, 175,000 are Cuban. One out of every five people here speak Spanish, many of them being brought in by the great and famous Interama being built here. It will employ 70,000 people by 1970. In this beautiful beach, on this beautiful beach where we're meeting, 150,000 people come each day. 80,000 of them are permanent residents and 70,000 of them tourists. Yet we confess with sorrow that we have on this beach only one small Baptist church with less than 100 active members. Lest you get the wrong picture of this metropolitan Miami area, let me tell you that this is a most progressive area indeed. In 10 years, we have organized 28 new churches and 145 new missions. Here in this area, we have the Baptist Church that led all Southern Baptist churches in baptisms, in 1966 baptizing 306, and in 1965, 346. 10 years ago in the city of Miami, we had one church for every 14,000 people. And after organizing 28 new churches, we now have one church for every 17,000 people. So fast and large is our population growth. The average annual population increase in Dade County for the past 10 years is 50,000. Religious pluralism is strong in Southeast Florida, where Baptists are in a minority. Over 600,000 Jewish, Catholic, sex, and non-Christian religious people live in this area. Yet, we have a very aggressive and progressive program endeavoring at all times to reach and win the people. Now let me come to say in this closing moment, we welcome you. You are as welcome as the rainbow after storm, as welcome as health after illness, as welcome as rain after drought. You are as welcome and cherished as the beauty and fragrance of a Tiffany rose of a loved one. What more can I say? We're honored to have you. And if we can be of assistance to you while you're here, command us. Remember us kindly and come back to see us soon.
Thank you, Dr. McGuire. Now I present, for the response to the welcome, Clyde Skidmore, pastor of the First Southern Baptist Church, Bakersfield, California.
Mr. President, messengers, ladies and gentlemen, that was certainly a warm-hearted welcome, wasn't it? I appreciate it. Reminds me of California sunshine. In fact, we've received a warm welcome on every hand since arriving in this community. As the wife and I went through the line tonight in the cafeteria, the man wiping his brow saw our label from California. He said, "Try some of our orange juice tonight." I said, "Is it good?" He said, "It ought to be. We got the seed from Texas, and we got the water from Tennessee." Thank you, Dr. McGuire, and friends of Greater Miami Beach Community and Baptist of Florida. On behalf of the thousands of messengers who are here from Hawaii, the paradise of the Pacific, to the Golden Gate and the Golden State, from Kodiak to Key West, from Maine to Mexico, and from Greenland's icy mountains to India's coral strands, we accept your most warm greetings and your cordial hospitality. It's great to be here in Miami Beach, and a wonderful trip down. One thing I did notice, however, and that was a large number of streams, rivers, and creeks, and lakes, and ponds that used to be here. First glance, you'd think that most of the state of Florida was underwater at one time. I mentioned this to the bellboy at the hotel, and he told me I hadn't seen anything yet. He said back in the old Florida real estate boom days, it was a common thing to hear a man say, "Hey, fellas, I've struck it rich. They found land on my property." Come to think of it, that bellboy may have been from California. We departed from the great mission field of California Monday morning, where soon there will be 20 million people living. 13 million do not know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We left there yesterday morning, and before sundown, we had arrived at the Baptist Empire of Florida. And I submit to you, that's keeping fast company. Someone has penned the following words to describe our modern travel. When you travel by jet, the impression you'll get is that things are decidedly humming. When you get to the ground, traveling faster than sound, you'll listen and hear yourself coming. As we left the city of Los Angeles, we noticed a slight haze hovering over the city of angels. Some people call it smog. Jed of the Beverly Hillbillies said that Los Angeles was the only place in the world where you could see what you were breathing. Citizens of the city of Los Angeles are requested to make the following pledge. I pledge allegiance to the city of Los Angeles and to the smog under which it stands. One city, invisible under the haze, with teardrops and cough drops for all. And you Texans, please hold on to your seats. There are more people living in California than in Alaska, Texas, Mississippi, and Florida all put together. And there are more people living in two counties in California, Los Angeles and Orange, than living in the whole state of Texas. That doesn't rest too well, does it? I know, because I'm a Texan too. Heard a story about four Baptist preachers. One from Alaska, one from California, one from Texas, and one from Florida. They all departed this land at the same time and arrived up in heaven. They were received by the host there. He welcomed them and said, "Now, you're all Baptist preachers down on earth, were you not?" And they said, "Yes, that's true." "You were all married?" "Yes, that's true." He said, "Well, first, I'm going to test your honesty. How many of you four preachers were henpecked when you were on the earth?" He said, "If you were, stand right over here." And they all looked at each other and they began to move over. Three of them moved over there. But the Texan just kept standing right where he was. And the host looked at him and said, "You mean you were married?" "Yes." He said, "You were not henpecked?" He said, "Yes, I was henpecked." He said, "Why didn't you move over here where I told you?" He said, "My wife told me to stand right here." God, in His holy word, has told Southern Baptists where and how to stand. I know that during this 110th session of the Southern Baptist Convention, we'll be called upon to take a definite stand on many important issues. May God give us courage to do so without apology to anyone. The meeting of the Southern Baptist Convention is always a joyful occasion. It is also a solemn and sacred time. We come together from many places, representing many races, but we have only one purpose, that is to find the mind and the will of God. This is our purpose for coming to this lovely state and gracious community. May God give us receptive and grateful hearts and open ears as we hear the clarion sounds of the Master's mandate to minister.
Thank you, Dr. Fred Kendall. Registration Secretary will come and give us a report, and as he is coming to the microphone, Dr. Allen will please make an emergency announcement.
Reverend Guy Rainwater, Operator 10, Atlanta, 373-8424.
Dr. Kendall.
Mr. President, I am happy to announce that we had at 7:15, we had 12,770 messengers registered for this convention, which sets a new all-time record for the opening session. Previous to this, the highest enrollment for an opening session was in 1964 in Kansas City with 11,726. So this is more than 1,000 more messengers registered today than through tonight than we had previously on the opening night. I move that these messengers constitute the convention, that the duly accredited messengers from the churches in cooperation with the convention who arrive later be recognized as messengers of the convention when they have enrolled on the basis of membership as set forth in Article 3 of the Constitution.
Do I hear second to the motion? All favoring the motion and second, please lift your hand. Opposition by like sign, and there is none, and the convention is composed of these messengers now duly seated. I recognize the chairman of the Committee on Order of Business, H. Cowan Ellis, pastor of First Baptist Church, Charlottesville, Virginia. Dr. Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Committee on Order of Business suggests that the President make appropriate recognitions, which normally would come at some selected spot, immediately following the announcement of the Committee on Committees and the Committee on Resolutions and the tellers. Except for that one change, the Committee on Order of Business recommends that the program which you have in hand become our official program for this session. Mr. President, I move the adoption of the printed program.
Do I hear second to the motion? Motion made and seconded. Is there any question? If you favor the adoption of the program, lift. Yes? I cannot hear you. Let's get the microphones on because time is important. All right, please, to a microphone where you can be heard. State your name and identity, that is, as a messenger.
Robert Harvey, a messenger from Southside Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. By way of Mississippi. I'd like to make a motion that at least 15 minutes for miscellaneous business be inserted on each session. We have 15 minutes on Wednesday morning and no further miscellaneous business time till Friday morning by this program.
Do I get your motion now that 15 minutes be set aside in each session?
That's right.
For miscellaneous business?
A minimum of 15 minutes.
A minimum of 15 minutes. Do I hear a second? Motion made and seconded. Now this will be an amendment to the report of the Committee on Order of Business. It is open for discussion. Is there any word? You have heard the motion from the chairman of the Committee on Order of Business, which is that we adopt the report as printed with one exception. Now the amendment to the motion is that at least 15 minutes be allotted to each session of the convention for miscellaneous business. Am I interpreting the amendment correctly?
That's right.
All right. Are you ready to vote on the amendment? Dr. Ellis, may I observe that this may be difficult to work in, or can we handle that all right? Maybe you need to speak to this amendment.
Well, I'm not sure I need to speak to it. It will be very difficult to work it in, but if the body so desires, we will try to do it. You're willing to stay here as long as it may take to add 15 minutes to each session?
If I remember, year after year, they have asked on the floor that more time be given to miscellaneous business. We have to extend it each session of each convention.
This is right, brother, and if you attend the Southern Baptist Convention 20 more years, we'll be doing the same thing again.
Well, let's
because
have
we never get the job
time.
Done. If we want to put in the extra time, we can do that, but we're going to have to make extra time anyway as we go along. This would be my observation. Question called for on the amendment. If you favor an additional time for miscellaneous business, a minimum of 15 minutes in each session, would you lift your hand? Down. If you oppose, would you lift your hand? Down again. I can't see anything out there but hands. If you... Thank you. If you favor the amendment, which is for the extra time, an amendment to the motion by Dr. Ellis, Chairman of the Committee on Order of Business, if you favor the amendment, will you stand, please? Thank you. Be seated. If you oppose the amendment, will you stand? The amendment is lost. And now we have the motion on the adoption of the committee support on order of business. Are you ready for the question? All favoring the adoption of the report from the committee on order of business, lift your hand. Down, opposition by like sign. It is so ordered. Now, brethren, let me observe that we're going to do what's right as Southern Baptists if we know it. And if you'll give us a little time and be patient with us, we'll eventually do the thing that's right. And when there is an obvious need for more time, we simply must parenthesize a program or call a special session after the evening session or do something to satisfy the messengers of this convention. Let nobody feel that he's going to be denied the opportunity of deliberation in this free democratic assembly. Now, I forgot what I was going to say next. So we're all happy now because we have the order adopted. It may need to be changed. And when it needs to be changed, as it usually does, attention will be called to it, and we'll proceed according to needs and in the light of your wisdom. At this time, I want to call your attention to the committees printed, the personnel of the committees printed in the survey bulletin, the convention bulletin. The convention bulletin, committee on committees, committee on resolutions, committee on credentials, and teller committee. You can read these names as well as I. I shall not take time to read them before you. Now, with the special provision made by the Committee on Order of Business, I should like at this time to make some proper recognitions. First of all, I want to recognize the officers of the Southern Baptist Convention. Will these officers please make their way toward the microphone so that we may all stand here together and you may be properly identified? Fred Hubbs, Executive Secretary of Baptist Convention of Michigan, and Mrs. Hubbs. Howard Altman, Pastor, First Baptist Church, Columbia, Mississippi, and his wife could not be present. His daughter is with him, Eva Carolyn. Fred Hubbs is First Vice President of our convention. Howard Altman is second vice president. Porter Ruth, treasurer. Mrs. Ruth, Ruth Ruth, will you come and stand together? Clifton Allen, recording secretary. Mrs. Allen could not be present for the convention. Fred Kendall, registration secretary, and Mrs. Kendall. We are very grateful for these good, capable, dedicated people. We know them and we love them. At this time, it is my privilege and pleasure to express my own gratitude for your leadership in this convention and for your help to me during the year just passed. Thank you. You may be seated. I tried to say throughout the year that it is important for laymen to attend the Southern Baptist Convention. And at least on one or two occasions, I said the convention in Miami will be a good place and a good time to begin to attend the convention as laymen. I should like at this time to recognize all laymen and laywomen who are present in this convention. Will you please stand? I believe this is a very healthy sign. We rejoice in the presence and the participation of the laymen of our convention. And now I want to express my profound gratitude before you to the First Baptist Church, Nashville, Tennessee, a people who have been most understanding and helpful during a difficult and demanding year for me as I've tried to serve as your president. I would be ungrateful and amiss if I did not publicly say how grateful I am for this devoted people. And now I want to call to the microphone or to the front the past presidents of our convention. Will you please stand in line? Dr. Lee, I believe, will be first in chronological order. Others will line up chronologically as they serve, not according to age,
Amen.
But as they served this convention. It was my privilege to be with the past presidents in a luncheon today. You will be pleased to know that all past presidents of our convention were present, excepting Dr. Louis Newton, who could not be here because of a wedding in his family. Dr. Brooks Hayes is in the convention city. He will be attending the convention, but he is not feeling good tonight and asked me to explain his absence. He is hoping to be in the sessions tomorrow. All of these men mean very much to me personally. I could enumerate many things that each man has contributed to my own life. Now I want to recognize them: Dr. Robert G. Lee, Dr. J. D. Gray, Dr. J. W. Stora, Dr. C. C. Warren, Dr. Ramsey Pollard, Dr. Herschel Hobbs, Dr. K. Owen White, Dr. Wayne Dehoney. Good, illustrious, honored men. I thank God for their presence tonight and their support. I want my family now to come forward. Please indulge me another moment. Whatever else I have said, I think, has been important in terms of recognition, but not nearly so important as what I am about to say and do now. I want my family, please, to come forward. My wife and two daughters. The great Carlyle's wife had died. He was in deep grief. And so he wrote these words, which Clarence McCartney calls the saddest words in English literature, and said, "Oh, that I had thee yet by my side for 5 minutes, and I would tell thee all." My wife is present with me tonight, thank God. And I do not have 5 minutes even to say what I want to say and ought to say. But I want you to know that my wife, Olga, has helped me do much better than I could have done without her devotion. Along with her, thank you. Along with her, there are two wonderful daughters. And they have also borne with me and been patient and they too will have their reward. I want to present now my wife, Olga, my daughter, Pam, and my daughter, Sandy. Thank you very much for this personal privilege. Brother Sneed will come now to lead us in a hymn.
Would you turn, please, to page 50 in your programs, page 50. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. We'll sing all stanzas. May we stand, please? I think you'd like to do that. Be seated, please. I want you to hear prayerfully now. Ministers of music sing from throughout the convention. These men in times past have sung for pre-session music. Many of you have not been here, and many of you were coming in as they sang. But tonight we have them in a spot where I think all can hear. People love to hear men sing. They're being directed tonight by Mr. Jim Woodward, who is chairman of the church music department at OBU. You'll listen prayerfully as they sing at this time.
Now, beloved, we want to clear everything as best we can so that the sermon, the special music, and all that relates to this worship experience will be unhindered. Dr. Allen has an announcement concerning the Committee on Committees.
The chairman of the committee has called a meeting at 7:50 in the Pine Room, called by Earl Eddington, chairman, Committee on Committees.
Dr. Ruth, do you have a word concerning the Committee on Committees? This is a very important committee, and we want to get to work on schedule.
The names of the New Mexico members were not in the bulletin, but will be announced at the first period in the morning so that they can meet with the committee.
We do have those names, and we apologize for the error in publication. Dr. W.C. Fields, will you come now and give us some instruction concerning a picture which will be taken at the close of the service tonight. You can see how important it's going to be now for everyone to stay under the end of the service and to be quiet and cooperative at this very important time. Dr. Fields. Each year we take a large panorama picture of the crowd at the convention, and at the close of the convention sermon tonight, the President will ask us all to stand, and if you will, please, as the camera sweeps around the hall, remain perfectly still. The picture will have remarkable clarity, but the slightest bit of movement will fuzz it up. At the close of the service, not take long, we'd appreciate your cooperation.
Thank you, Dr. Fields. One more announcement here on Committee on Resolutions, Dr. Hobbs.
The report that went out, I understand, a letter to the ones who were asked to serve on this committee, called a meeting, the first meeting of the committee tomorrow morning immediately after the Executive Committee report. It'll be necessary for the chairman to be on the platform during the Radio and Television Committee report, Commission report. So if it's all right with the committee, we'll meet at the same place immediately after the Radio and Television Commission report.
Thank you, Dr. Hobbs. Is there any other word that needs to be said before the adjournment of this session tonight?
Brother President.
Dr. Allen.
Other emergency calls. Tom Clayton, call operator 50-632-7798. Cocoa, I believe it is. I'm not certain. Tom Clayton, call Cocoa, operator 50-632-6798. Fred Tarpley, call Jackson, Mississippi, operator 3-366-4512. Emergency. Cecil Winfrock, I believe. Valdosta, Georgia, call EM39600. It also has Kansas City, operator 34. J.W. Coker, call operator 504-820161, Meridian, Mississippi.
Thank you, Dr. Allen. The alternate for the convention sermon is Dr. Albert Sims, Pastor Rivermont Avenue Baptist Church, Lynchburg, Virginia. Our second Vice President, Dr. Howard Altman, is a very devoted friend to the preacher of the annual sermon of this convention. It is fitting, therefore, that Brother Altman have the privilege of introducing our preacher for the evening. And now, as the second Vice President makes his way to the microphone, I want to join Mr. Sneed in expressing our appreciation to the ministers of music of the Southern Baptist Convention under the direction of James Woodward for their contribution to this service and to this hour of worship. Dr. Altman.
Thank you, Mr. President. Our preacher for this annual convention sermon has been a friend of mine since I was a small boy. I take great joy to introduce him